What's up? How's it going, everybody? I'm both excited and completely dreading doing this episode. this isn't necessarily a creepypasta, but it's kind of in that little subcategory. This is just a topic-based episode. I've done probably about a week and a half, 2 weeks of pretty much every day doing research for this stupid fucking episode. So I'm excited because it's finally going to happen and I'm going to get out of the way, but I'm not excited because I feel like I'm going to have to fucking re-record a bunch of this because I'm probably going to fuck up a lot. I'm not going to worry about it being as perfect Grammarly and being read as the creepypasta because it doesn't really affect anything. Whereas in a creepypasta, if you fuck up reading stuff a bunch of times, then, you know, it's not very fucking creepy. So that's kind of lame. This episode is going to be a two-parter. There's so much research and there's so much to talk about that I feel like sitting and listening to, over an hour, anywhere between an hour and 2 hours or up to an hour. I don't even know how long it's going to be. But sitting and listening to that much research about this particular topic for that amount of time would not... I feel like you just ain't going to want to listen to it for that long. The payoff's not going to be that good. So it's going to be split into two podcast episodes, a part one and a part two, same topic. The topic is cannibalism, one of the most taboo and coolest things to me. I'm super in love with this topic because I'm a fucking weirdo. Anyways, guys, let's get some shout-outs out of the way for sponsors and other things. Go to Shanna... Go to chantelbenedictart.squarespace.com. She's got tons of super cool shit on there. You can check her out on Facebook too. Just go type in Chantel Benedict Art. Pretty one of a kind stuff. It's pretty sweet. She does a lot of pattern art and of all different sorts. She, you know, sometimes it's like a logo-ish looking, sometimes it's an actual character, creature, animal, just all sorts of stuff. She spends a lot of time on this shit. So, you know, buy a couple prints, pick some stuff out, stuff to hang on your wall, give away as gifts. It's pretty cool shit. The brand of choice for this episode, the brand that I'm going to give a shout out to, is L.A. Mort Clothing Company. They have some really morbid, sick, badass, kick-ass shirts. Now, I don't know what all these guys stand for or what they're behind, but these shirts are metal as fuck, and I highly suggest checking out their Instagram and checking out their online store. They sell cool, cool shit. I'm a huge fan. Again, that's L.A. Mort Clothing. I'll post a link to their site in the description of this episode, but metal as fuck. Their shit's brutal. I love it. Absolutely love them. So shout out to those guys. I think that's all I got for that. If you live locally, you live here in town, if you're an aspiring musician or you like music in general, you want to learn how to play guitar, you want to buy a new guitar, drum stuff, whatever music-wise, if you live in the Roseburg area, go to High Five Music. Bruce is the owner. He's fucking cool as shit. That guy's helped me out a lot over the years and hooked me up quite a bit and real, real good guy, kind of old school business guy. You know, you can walk in there and be like, I want that. I can't pay for that right now. Here's $20. Don't let anybody buy it. And I'll come in and give you what I can when I can. And he's totally willing to work with that kind of stuff. And he sells pretty good stuff, you know. So check that out if you're in the area. If you're not, then I guess go to a fucking guitar center. I don't know. Anyways, guys, pretty excited about this episode. So let's just jump right into it. I'm going to stop fucking babbling.
Speak of the devil, and they shall appear.
you're about to be killed by a Zamboni.
Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
Relaxed and smiling.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
Oh, yeah!
Give me a hell yeah!
What do you have to say about that?
Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck.
The definition of cannibalism in the dictionary is the practice of eating flesh of one's own species. Now to us, in the mostly civilized 21st century, it seems so taboo at this point. It almost seems to carry a certain evilness with it, both for religious and non-religious people. But for some, this isn't the case. Whether it's just curiosity, a craving, an impulse, or just cultural normality, cannibalism has been around since the beginning of time. And to some others' misfortune, it's still very much alive today. I'm going to take you through the history of this very gruesome practice from its beginnings, its reoccurrences all throughout time, both for survival's sake and its sadistic representations. The Maori and the Polynesians call human flesh long pig, because it's said that the meat off of our bones resembles pork. Now, whether it's people or other members of the animal kingdom, it's pretty normal for cannibalism to occur in nature. But it's normal, just like with everything else, we like to pretend that we're not part of the animal kingdom, and that us normal people aren't capable of being as such monsters. Now, my opinion rides somewhere in the middle, but that's for another time in another podcast. In order to try to stay on track with all this, I'm going to break this down into parts and segments. I'm quite well known for breaking off into tangents and losing track of my thoughts, so I thought it would best to avoid that situation through the first part of this episode. I'm going to start with non-human examples of cannibalism as it's found in nature. Many animals eat their own kind on a fairly regular basis. It's pretty simple. It's survival. There's no morals tied into it. I want to live by any means necessary. There's an easy source to get calories, or someone is encroaching on my ability to spread my bloodline. You gotta go. It's most of the time as easy as that. Sometimes it's for food, sometimes procreation, and other times there's just no need to be wasteful. The members of the animal kingdom that I'm about to name and go over and go through, some of them are very well known for indulging in cannibalism, and others might not be all that often. But these are the most famous examples. I've left some out, obviously. First one is the praying mantis. Most cases are found done by the female of the species, and we've all heard the stories. While the male is tame and some strange, the female will get behind the male and behead them. Once finished with the vertical tango, will proceed to eat him. While this myth is true, it is thought that this only happens about 30% of the time in nature that's been observed. It's just a pretty simple case of it's a super easy meal for the female of the species. She just became impregnated. This dude's smaller than her. He's in a vulnerable spot. Gots to go, man. Black widows are notoriously devious in this regard. Black widows, for those of you who might live in a different country or a different region, they're very, very common where I'm from on the Pacific Northwest. They're a small to medium-sized spider, a very large ass on these spiders. They have a red hourglass shape on the females. The females are usually almost twice as large as the males. They actually got their name, Black Widow, from their cannibalistic acts itself. So the females, like I said before, like most erecting species, are substantially larger. They find a mate. Once the deed has been done, she will kill and eat the father. Now, this is, again, more of a case of it's just easy. It's an easy meal, you know. They can hatch, or they can lay anywhere from 200 up to 900 eggs. It's much, much more common than in the praying mantis. This happens a large majority of the time. The babies themselves, even once hatched, it's very regular for them to consume other baby spiders. And in fact, it's shown that out of the hundreds of eggs laid, only a very small handful will survive the adolescent trip of being in the, I don't want to call it nest, but just being a baby spider. You're probably going to get jacked by either your mom or your brothers or sisters. Anybody who's watched Shark Week will be very well aware of this next one. There are sharks of a handful of species that eat their own. It's pretty common practice for shark pups. For those of you who don't know, a shark pup is a baby shark. Weird, right? It's very normal for them to eat each other, most often while still in the womb. Granted, this is often done while they're still in the stage of developing, they're still like a developing embryo, but it happens quite a bit. It is done through all stages of pregnancy. It's the later stage example that is mostly only found in sand tiger sharks. So they're not tiny embryos anymore. They're already becoming full-fledged little shark babies inside the womb. Bigger, stronger one eats the smaller one. What can I say? Another very common animal that people not know about, in fact, people wouldn't expect it, is a pretty normal thing that we all have seen this animal, we've all eaten this animal, we all have interacted in some way with this, is chickens. The saying pecking order is actually a thing. Chickens will peck at each other and bicker and fight, causing everything from little superficial wounds to very deep, very bad, hard bleeding, you know, can kill each other. The pecking order thing is a larger, more dominant bird will pick on other smaller birds, and they kind of have this tendency to kind of copy and follow each other. So if one big bird starts picking on a smaller little bird, it'll peck the fuck out of that bird, and like I said, can cause pretty bad wounds, leading to bleeding and pieces of flesh being ripped off. And then next thing you know, you have an entire fucking flock of chickens killing and eating. And they don't care. Chickens don't give a shit. They'll eat anything. They will literally eat anything. I've seen them try to eat pennies. Like, they don't care. So you'll have an entire flock of birds jump on one bird and just eat him alive. Like, they just don't care. The most closely related example of cannibalistic tendencies is that of our most closest animal relative, primates. Chimpanzees, to be more precise. Chimps are known to kill and eat their babies. It's been observed numerous times. It was actually first filmed by... It was first noticed by famed primatologist and chimp activist Jane Goodall. She first discovered and made record of this when two chimps, a mother and daughter, were observed killing and eating at least three chimp babies in the Gombe Park in Tanzania. Since the observation, researchers have witnessed this numerous times, both by male and female chimps. The exact reason for this behavior isn't really known. Jane Goodall summarized in her opinion as it being simply just their nature. Having said, quote, "It is sobering that our new awareness of chimpanzee violence compels us to acknowledge that these apes, cousins of ours, are even more similar to humans than we thought before. Hashtag chimp on chip crime. Hashtag people suck." Some other notable mentions as far as animals go. Some of these you're probably going to know. You're going to be like, oh yeah, duh, that makes sense. And other ones, maybe not so much. Some of these are very close to us. Some of these none of us have ever seen before. Rabbits, they'll definitely eat each other. They don't care. Rabbits are actually very savage. People think of them as really cute when you have them as a pet, but rabbits in the wild can be gangster as shit. Bears, snakes, squirrels, deer will eat other deer, fish, dogs, cats, and hamsters. Yes, hamsters. Being part of the rodent family, they're pretty much well known to be omnivores. People don't think of it again because they're cute, cuddly, they're our pets, but hamsters will definitely take advantage. Some people have even seen it themselves. If you get two hamsters not from the beginning, like you have a hamster and then later down the road you pick up another hamster, sometimes they'll fight and they will straight up like attack each other. They have no issue with it whatsoever, and they'll, you know, I've seen squirrels on the road. Rodents in general, just they eat what they can find. People don't want to think this because these are things we have as pets and they're cute and cuddly, but we're all animals, people, and it doesn't change. Now I'm going to go over cannibalism throughout human history. Some of the oldest evidence of cannibalism suggests that early humans ate other humans as part of funeral rites. Cannibalistic rituals and tendencies of mankind go back as far as mankind itself, about 6,000 years ago when God created us. I'm just kidding, but seriously, the act of eating our own kind is as old as our kind itself. Some say even longer, back before Homo sapiens are what we know today. Homo antecessor, or the I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, by the way. Homo antecessor, is the last common ancestor between us and Neanderthals, aka Christians. They were thought to rely on cannibalism regularly, not under the circumstances of starvation, but just as a regular part of life and diet. Modern humans who lived alongside the Neanderthals were known to eat each other as well. The earliest humans in Europe around 32,000 years ago would practice ritualistic cannibalism all the time. Very much modern humans. In fact, humans with societies and social structures were known to partake in such happenings. Some forced into it during war times. There'd be entire cities or clans that'd be held under siege for long periods of time, and it would cause people to have to make dire decisions. They'd have to eat one another just to stay alive. While other cultures chose to do it regularly for just various reasons, which is metal as fuck. During the Roman siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD, which ended with the destruction of the Second Temple and the sacking of the city, starvation and plague wore down the city's residents, and they had to resort to cannibalism to stay alive. While most cannibalism, with some exceptions, is looked at as a means of nutritional intake, human flesh and body parts were used for other purposes as well. Starting in the Middle Ages, cannibalism was used as different medicines and pseudo-medical cures. Using human remains and medicines and other remedies was very common in the 12th century. Dead bodies would be stolen from graves and tombs. Treatments called for the use of bones, blood, or fat for varying conditions, some as common as headaches and joint pain. Consuming human body parts can cause widespread disease and illness all on its own. We'll just ignore any pre-existing conditions that the deceased might have had when they had died and before they were consumed. Consuming human tissue can cause a very serious condition known as prion disease. Prions are a specific type of protein-based virus that can trigger normal proteins in the brain to fold abnormally. They can affect both animals and humans, and they're known to be spread through tainted meats and cause side effects such as memory impairment, personality changes, compromised motor functions, dementia, hallucinations, fatigue, and many, many other things. Basically, anything fucked up that could go wrong with your brain can happen with prion disease. A more modern and recognizable term that everybody is kind of aware of and knows, but they might not realize is prion disease, is mad cow disease. One of the largest studies done on mad cow disease showed it was caused by cattle who are normally herbivores being fed the remains and leftovers of other cattle in the form of meat and bone meal. To sum it up, you don't fucking want prion disease. They suck ass. Now, breaking through some of these older, more European examples, let's stop off the shitty boat of history onto the new world, America. The free world has had many, many examples of cannibalism, which we really shouldn't be proud of considering how much later in time these stories take place. Much like our European ancestors, America had indigenous peoples who practiced ritualistic cannibalism. Tribes such as the Iroquois, the Mohawk, and a few others had both surprise and disgust in the new trespassers. I mean explorers, whatever. When they had witnessed these perfectly normal acts of cannibalism. Eating human flesh wasn't just for the sake of trying a delicacy, but was thought to strengthen the tribe and humiliate their enemies. This next story is also an example of historic cannibalism in the United States, but it also bleeds over into the next talking point: eating others in order to survive as a last resort. Eat or be eaten. The first story takes place in the newly settled America in the year 1609, in the first permanent settlement of Jamestown. Starting in 1609 and lasting a full year through the late 1610, this period is known as the starving time, when three-quarters of all the settlers had perished. The winter was harsh, there was little to no vegetation, and due to weather, supply ships could not help supplement supplies. I said a lot of sups in that. You'll get over it. The colony had grown so desperate that they resorted to eating the body of a 14-year-old girl. The girl, who archaeologists called Jane, likely arrived in the settlement in August of 1609, months before the winter had set in. And as many people that had died with the known lack of nutrition, it is pretty well speculated that she was definitely not the only one preyed upon. In 1846, a large group of 87 pioneers left Missouri with their eyes set on the West Coast. Most of them would not make their destination, and those who did may not have seemed so happy that they got there. The group spent the winter of 1846 to 1847 snowbound in the mountains of Nevada, after making the unfortunate decision of attempting to take a new route to California called Hastings Cutoff. Most of the colonists froze or starved to death during the nearly 4 months in the pass before the first relief searches arrived in late February. Diary and journal entries from members of the group were recovered, with grim details of the deeds and mentalities that took place in order to stay alive. Now, this is a perfect example of proof to show that when push comes to shove, we are no different than any other animal. Put us in dire situations with hope-crushing circumstances, and we will become the monsters that we fear in our deepest nightmares. The group left with 87 members in 1846 and arrived in California with 48 survivors. This group, led by George Donner, was forever known as one of the most infamous stories of cannibalism in America. They were known as the Donner Party. Moving up to the 20th century, it was riddled with war, regime, and government changes, and it ushered in its own list of unfortunate cases. Russia, China, and North Korea all suffered very bad famines, forcing their populace to eat their dead to stay alive, and in some cases, kill the living and eat them, which is metal as fuck. Now, speaking of metal as fuck, before we break into our modern cannibalism and our civilized society, I would like to mention something that most people probably don't realize. There are still a handful of cultures today in the 21st century that still practice cannibalism. And as an example, I'm going to pick one of the most well-studied tribes, the Kirowai. The Kirowai is among the last list of known consumers of human flesh. According to Paul Raphael, an Australian journalist who studied and spent time with them in 2006, he describes a ritual that is performed when a tribe member has died of mysterious circumstances. Things like diseases or deadly accidents. The Kirowai believe that this happened because the person has succumbed to the Kakawa, which is a witch. And in order to counteract the magic, it's custom for the Kirowai to eat the dead. In 2012, authorities in Papua New Guinea charged 29 members of the tribe with the deaths of 7 witch doctors. The cannibals believed that by eating the witch doctor's organs, they would be imbued with supernatural powers. Well, there you have it, guys. That is the first half of the 2-part cannibalism episode. In the next episode, we're going to cover modern cannibalism, which we'll be covering serial killers and literal, like, 20th and 21st century cases of cannibalism that a lot of us have probably heard about because it's a very big deal nowadays. So that episode I'm currently still working on. I'm still doing some research, finish up research for it, and I have to record it. But in the meantime, I'll probably release a couple normal episodes of the podcast. Quote-unquote normal. Who knows what normal is these days. Just to have some content to have for you guys then. So just keep an eye out for part 2. I would really appreciate it if you share this podcast with your friends. You guys can subscribe from iTunes and the Google Play Store on Android. So just search for Radcast and look for my logo. The music on this episode was created by Lucas King, and there's a link to his page in the description. All my sources were AnimalPlanet.com, Seeker.com, Smithsonian Magazine, and PLOS One Journal. I hope you guys liked this episode as much as I did. I really enjoyed reading up on a lot of this stuff. The second part is definitely the more exciting part because it's the cool shit that we all want to hear, the gruesome tales of very demented people and people with things wrong with them. I'm very excited about part 2, so I'm really, really putting a lot of time into the research for it. I'm trying not to rush it. This first part here alone was kind of the more historical and boring section. Hopefully it wasn't too boring for you guys. But even this one I re-recorded probably like 6 times because I just wasn't happy with the way I was putting the content together. So hopefully I did it justice. Look forward to part 2, and I'll see you guys in the future.